Hi everybody, thanks for tuning in. Today we had on the podcast David Whitehead, who together with Michael Tazarian run their own podcast called Unslaved, which is an absolute fountain of knowledge. We covered geopolitics, Marxism, Donald Trump, personal development, consciousness. A genuinely great episode, and this guy, I highly recommend checking him out on his own YouTube channels and his own podcast. Seriously, seriously full of knowledge. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you could support us on iTunes and follow us on YouTube and Instagram, that would be phenomenal. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Infinite Potential Podcast. Today we have David Whitehead. Are you from America or Canada? Where are you from?
I live in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Oh, lovely. What a place. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself for people who don't know who you are.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, gentlemen. Pleasure to be here. And Man, it's always hard to give the elevator pitch on what I do because I do a lot of different things. I'm the type of guy that gets bored easy. Let's just put it that way. But let's just go like this. I'm an entrepreneur. I work for myself. I run my own podcast called Way of the Truth Warrior. And then I also do a partnership podcast project with Michael Tazarian. It's called Unslaved. Our website's unslaved.com. I'm a martial arts instructor. I work in the health and wellness field. And I'm a father of two beautiful girls, and I live in Canada. I'm Canadian.
We have got a dog with us, as you might hear. We've had to just run around each other's houses, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, good.
You mentioned the Unslaved podcast there. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I know that for myself, it's been fundamental in the way I actually see the world over the last 12, 18 months. I know Michael Tazarian is a phenomenal influence with his works as well. So I'll congratulate both of you for that. It's fascinating work.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, and I'm glad it's helping you out there. It's something that was a project that was built out of passion. Both Michael and I have been, we've been friends and we've been working together for years. And we were doing just some Skype recorded conversations, throwing them up on YouTube. And eventually I got Michael around the idea of doing something of high quality. He's always wanted to do it, but we just didn't always have the resources to do it. And there's been an explosion in opportunity over the last, say, 3 to 5 years online right now, where there's so many different tools at our disposal that we can use to disseminate this information, to build a project that's quality. And so we embarked just over a year ago on setting up the Unslaved podcast, went through our technical hiccups, went through all the different trial by fire you have to go through when you start a project like that. But it's been more than worth it. And we are a podcast that we cover a lot of information, but the whole concept, the whole basis of it is freedom. I mean, if you can think about the term unslaved, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a particular group of people that have been enslaved in a specific period of time in history by another group? No, we're talking about the whole human race. We're talking about consciousness itself. We're talking about current events, ancient history, politics, philosophy, esoteric study, talking about secret societies and the idea of conspiracies and criminality at the highest levels that, you know, permeates the various institutions in our world and always has. We talk about symbolism. We talk about comparative religion and mythology. And the whole goal is to take this archive of knowledge that is at anyone's disposal that has the time to go in and research these things. We're trying to bring that to the public and show the people, like, here are the authors, here are the thinkers from the past that were already warning us about the situation that we're in now and offering solutions. Everybody's always asking about solutions. The solutions have already been presented to the human race. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing needs to be invented. It's all been put out for us. So our job, the way Michael and I look at it, is we take these great minds from the past, we bring it to the fore, and no, you're not going to agree with everything and everything that every single person said that we bring up. But the main key ingredients that are there that you won't find anywhere else are what we try to bring out in the show, as well as Michael's continued research in these fields. I mean, he's been doing this for over 40 something years. He has access to information that not the average person at least, would have access to. Much of the information that he has and the research that he does is like archived information. So you won't find a lot of it on the internet. He's got storage containers full of books and information that it takes years to bring this stuff out. And now that we have this platform that we do with Unslave, with our own site, we control the domain, we control every aspect of the site. It gives us the opportunity to do justice to it. And that's, I guess, where I come in, is I'm there to try to sort of describe it in a way that people can understand. So like Michael, he's in this research all the time. You know, he's at a specific level of mastery in these fields. And so I have to try to take that and communicate it to the average person, they can understand it. So we offer a variety of resources on our website. We actually just launched a new 15-day premium trial. So people can go for free for 15 days and try out all our premium content and see what we're all about. So we offer free content, we offer paid content, and there's all kinds of new stuff that are going to be coming out this year. So very excited about it. It's an amazing project.
I mean, I highly recommend that myself. I'm a premium member there. And I mean, some of the work that Michael's done, tarot and astrotheology and all that stuff, I mean, just blows your mind and completely opens my mind up to a world that I didn't even know existed, to be fair. So fascinating work. And I mean, you can tell Michael, he doesn't even seem to be on the planet half the time. He just seems to be off elsewhere somewhere. And mind-blowing stuff. So I do thank you very much for that. Cheers. Oh,
my pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk a little bit about what's going on with the far left agenda at the moment? I mean, in the Britain at the moment, we've got a big transgender thing going on. And it's like, it defies belief. It's some of the things that are going on. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, this is something that's been happening in America. I can speak from a sort of a American Canadian context. It's been something that's been creeping up for a while. The old politically correct censorship of language and the situation in academia and in the school system, the university system, where essentially we have Marxist ideology making its way to the fore once again. And this is always a sign that your civilization is starting to decline. Whereas the pundits for this philosophy that are there everywhere, by the way, ever since the fall of the Soviet Union, we've had a lot of communist infiltration into America and specifically to American institutions. You may have heard of the March on the Institutions. There's actually I think it's like a 42-step stage plan of how you can change a free market society into a communist society within three to four generations. And that's been something that a lot of people in America have been talking about for some time. In Europe, we know that there's also a history of these kinds of the battle of these ideologies, obviously looking at what happened to Soviet Russia. I mean, it is a European context there. And what I think is happening with the far left, let me step back for a bit. The left and the right, for those that might not be aware of this, is they're supposed to be a balanced debate in politics that is something that supposedly represents the voice of the people and what direction the country should be going. And it's supposed to be a balance between the masculine and feminine principle. You know, we need to take care of things structurally on a technical level. We need to have laws and rules in place to enforce some kind of sanity and law and order and justice in our society. And then on the other side as well, we don't want to take away liberties. We want things to be free. We want people to have equal opportunity. But the discussion has changed on the side of the far left from just having equal opportunity and allowing creating less restriction on freedom so people can have equal opportunity to this concept of the equality of outcome. That's what it would be. So it's the equality of outcome versus equality of opportunity. And what that is talking about is really that it's how society views freedom. So are you free to go and create something that you want, have your own property, live a free life so long as you're not breaking the law or infringing on someone else's rights? And are your rights actually inherent to you? Are you looked at by your society as having inherent rights, whether you believe they're given by God, whether you believe they're given by nature, whether you believe they're just part of what it is to be human, that we have the right to not be accosted, to not be surveilled, to not be constantly having our personal activities monitored and licensed and all these kinds of things? Or do you believe that the state is what gives rights? Because if you believe it's the state that gives rights, this is essentially the communist perspective, right? Then you'll find yourself now more and more aligned with the far left, because that's essentially where they're coming from, is they're digging up Karl Marx, they're rebranding it, repackaging it, and trying to sell it to the West. And the big question is, why are they doing this? Why are not just, you know, Justin Trudeau, my prime minister here in Canada, not just, you know, the war that's happening in the American political arena with Trump, and, you know, he's trying to, you know, on some levels change some of that. And then what's going on in Europe? Why are all these other countries just jumping on board with this? Well, it's because the world economy is essentially controlled by globalist institutions, individuals, banking families, and we like to call them the mafia, the cartel, the real guys that control money. They print money. They brought in the fiat currency system into America via the Federal Reserve after the signing of the agreement on Jekyll Island. And once that happened, it immediately put that country into debt. And then Canada did the same thing in 1974, where we switched over our banking system to be run by the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. And then if you see it in Europe, it's the same thing. And then there was the rise of the EU, the European Union, which is essentially was another tyrannical, bureaucratically run system that was imposing laws on the countries that were signing on, as opposed to what they originally sold it to you as, which was another way that we can bring Europe together. That's not what they wanted at all. So we're seeing a battle. It's taking the face and the feeling of communism and socialism and the political discussion versus, say, capitalism. But really, behind the scenes, what we've been covering is how this is essentially an ancient religious ideology that goes back to Luciferianism, the dark occult. It comes out of some of the worst tyrannical regimes that have ever run in history, tripping at Russia and China and all these different places. And it's the same groups, businesses, and families that are financing the movement of all of these nations towards this one world, globally centralized, globally planned government system. And with that, that brings the whole discussion about technology and artificial intelligence and how they're trying to create a population that will be more pliable, that will be willing to give up their rights and freedoms, and that will then integrate better into what they're trying to brand as this future global utopia. So we're sitting there on Unslaved, Michael and I, and the guests that we bring on when we cover this issue. We're trying to bring people's attention to the deeper roots of this, the histories of this, the people that have warned us for hundreds of years about these types of things. And it's all vogue now in the mainstream. You've got Jordan Peterson out there. We've got all these people talking about these issues. But I'll tell you right now that the way we covered on the Unslaved podcast is completely unique in that we're bringing a huge look into history about these issues, which I think is really key to try to figure out what's going on. And then from there, of course, you can get in and dissect all the little expressions of that, like, you know, the transgender, you know, the speech laws, the, you know, the race baiting, the race war, the economic class war. They're trying to stir up the pot so that they can obviously dominate the outcome. So it's a very interesting time we live. It's not all bad. There's a lot of amazing things happening at the same time. But I guess that's kind of a nutshell of where we're at with that right now.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned Donald Trump there, and you think that there might be, he's trying to undo a little bit of what has been going on for thousands of years, if you like.
Well, I mean, I don't know about thousands of years, but let's just say over the last few presidencies in America that, you know, we're moving more and more towards socialism and less away from the original American ideal that was set forth by the founding fathers, which was something that I always was inspired by. And I mean, I live in Canada. We don't have a constitution. We do have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is similar, but we are essentially just a British colony. Whereas America was unique in that they separated from the British Empire and they fought for their own independence and they set up a system that was built on the rights of the individual, that you have the right to private property, you have the right to bear arms and protect yourself, not just from some lunatics in your neighborhood, but from the fact that, you know, the government might become tyrannical as it does all the time, you know, around the world is just something that can happen. Power can tend to corrupt, can it not? So you want to keep your government in check. You don't want the power differential to be in the hands of just the criminal class and just the government class. That never works out well. So you had that right. You had all of these different rights that were given to Americans. And the idea was that you were going to build a flourishing free society of people who, you had a society that would support the individual first so that they could go and benefit the collective. But now we have the old school battle that's continuing of the Marxist ideology, the cultural Marxism, if you will, postmodernism would be another term for it, which is that in school, the children are being raised to hate America and hate the West and to criticize white straight males as if we're like the bane of the world's existence, to criticize America and the West and all these great things that we've built and make it look like this was all just built off of evil, slavery, colonization, murder, and all these kinds of things. And you're like, it's not even comparable to the regimes that have embodied the philosophy of postmodernism and cultural Marxism when it comes to what's happened. It's not perfect, but I think with someone like Donald Trump, the reason why he got popular, the reason why they voted him in, and he's not perfect and he has his flaws, but let's just look at it like this. America was getting sick of being run by outsiders, people that were obviously not aligned with the destiny of America. They were aligned with globalist banking international cartels. They weren't involved. They didn't obviously care about it because they're willing to sell off the American ideal. And America was something that all of the West and the rest of the world looked up to. I mean, that's why you have so much immigration coming here. We're not seeing massive exoduses of people leaving Western countries and going to live in, say, North Africa or some of these other countries. There's a reason why, and it's because of the philosophy. It's because of what we were able to achieve by applying that philosophy. And yeah, we still have to work it out, and there's still a lot of corruption and a lot of things that we have to handle here. But Donald Trump gets in because America was sick of being lied to. They were sick of having people read teleprompters to them. They were sick of getting involved in this globalist, what would you call it? It's a globalist plan. It's Agenda 21. It's the UN, George Soros funded operation to essentially dismantle the West and create this, what they call equalized world system. And it's something we've been warning about for years, talking about the new world order and world government and shadow government. And we used to get made fun of for talking about it, even though we had all the evidence behind us. And now Donald Trump comes in the running and starts bringing these issues up to the American people. And I'll guarantee a lot of Americans were already onto this. So they're like, okay, this guy's at least talking about these trade deals, which are disastrous for our country. He's at least talking about the fact that we do have a problem with too much immigration and too much illegal immigration. That's a problem. He's bringing up the economy. He's bringing up this media censorship, the media control, the fact that there's only 5 corporations that run all of the media. Like, that's insane. And they happen to be aligned ideologically with the left in America. So that means there's now there's not an unbiased reporting of media. So that's where the whole thing came in, of fake news and all of that. So whether Trump is going to be the real deal or not, whether he's perfect or not, is aside the point. His election started a new conversation in the West. And it started a whole new way of people looking at themselves, the world, their place in the world, what America's place is in the world. I'm sure where you're living in Europe, you're asking those same questions. Yeah. So in that sense, that's one of the great things about this, is that it's a bit messy. Sure, people are getting offended by the conversation that's being had, but it's a necessary conversation. And we do need to try to figure out what is going to produce the most free society, what is going to produce wealth and prosperity for everybody that's involved, and what is the role of the individual in all of this.
Yeah. David, talking about the tyrannical pyramid, if you like, what would you say is the fuel for the elite to control people? Or would you say it's down to control? What is the need for it? Is there like an underlying fuel there? It's obviously not money. Is it down to power, or how far does this go back?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, just the way I got into this kind of research was I started studying religion. I wanted to know why people couldn't agree on the origins of humankind and why we couldn't agree on our values and the way we looked at the world. And at first I was thinking, well, we all have to have this consensus in order to have peace. But then I realized it's not that we have to have consensus. It's that we have to learn what, like, we have to learn about what things we have in common and what we don't, and how we can still maintain free expression of various religious traditions, for example, without having them inciting wars and, you know, learning about which religious ideals are actually toxic to a free society. And, you know, and these are the discussions I started thinking about, was like, what's the best way to achieve the optimal standard of living, right? And then I started looking in and seeing that no matter where you look in history, there's always these very interesting things that happen right before, say, major wars or, you know, any of the formations of some of these big roundtable groups like these UNs and all these things. There's all these very interesting circumstances that happen that are suspicious in many ways. And so when you're talking about the power pyramid, there's a whole history that has to be unpacked with that. And we do that on the show. There, this brings in religion. This brings in religious ideas that are not public. So there are elite families and elite aristocracy that have, they live on the fringes, if you will, because they're not a part of what they consider to be the marketplace or the goyim or whatever. They've obviously in a totally different position. And they view their position in the world as if they have the right to rule the destiny of these nations. They have the right. The divine right of kings is what it used to be called. But now it's just, well, somebody has to be responsible. Somebody has to take the reins of power and lead humanity in a particular direction. And there's always been disagreements amongst these elites. There's been infighting. You know, if you think they're ruthless with the average populations of people, they're very ruthless with each other as well. And it's, I guess on that level, when you have all the money and power and all that kind of stuff, what else is there? Well, if you're a psychopath that desires that, the only thing left is power and control over the destiny of wherever you're living or even the whole world. I mean, we kind of laugh at that idea of people that are out there that want to control the whole world. You think of like G.I. Joe and Cobra Commander or something. You're like, oh, that wouldn't happen. But people, we've had people, governments alone on the governmental level fighting each other over land, over resources, and then religions fighting over the having their religion become the most dominant one. That's why we do have a big problem with Islam right now. And yeah, Christianity wasn't perfect either. We had problems with that. And so there are those that are, I think, that are manipulating the game a little bit. They're tweaking it a little bit, just like someone might tweak the market to try to get more financial advantage out of it. And again, it's not always financial. It's about being able to control those resources, being able to control and dominate where things go. And if you take out any kind of empathy or humanity from the mix, these psychopaths are far more capable of doing things that you or I couldn't even imagine in order to maintain that power differential. So I think it's about power. I mean, you made a good point. It's not about money. These are the families that they print money. They made the money, yeah. The monetary system, right? So money is just a means to an end. What's the end? Man, we could sit here and speculate about it. I sometimes feel like we're like children just sort of like looking over the window, trying to see what the adults are doing and trying to get an idea of what's going on. All we can really rely on, even if some of the people listening might not accept some idea of a conspiracy or anything like that, all we can rely on is the facts. What has happened and what is that going to cause in the future? And so if we can get people focused on, okay, let's just put aside the theory right now. Let's think about just what has actually happened and try to go from there. I feel like we'll be on the right track to finding out what the whole thing is all about. But if we had Michael on this show, I'm sure he would give you what he feels is the ultimate agenda. Because, I mean, he's studied these people for years. I mean, they're not private about it. It's not as hidden as people make it seem. It's written down on their memoirs. It's written down on their white papers. It's written in the evidence of what's happened as a result of certain historical events. So there's a big story to unpack there for sure.
Mm. Mm. It's very interesting. I mean, you mentioned the media earlier when it's owned by five corporations or families or whatever it is. The mind control that goes on is breathtakingly, it's the mind is like a sieve, isn't it? It can literally just be infiltrated. If you're not strong and powerful in your own being, your mind can just be completely manipulated. We see it here all the time. I think it's like a 7-to-1 ratio of negativity to positivity on the news. I don't know what it's like over there. Mm. how much of a role does the media play in all of this?
A huge role, a massive role. And the reason it plays such a big role is because so many people still look to the media, although it's changing, but so many people still look to the media for their source of information. And the way I've always looked at it is this: when people speak passionately about their opinion on political or social matters, where are they getting the information upon which they're resting their argument? Where are they getting that information from? So if they're, let's say you come out and you give all the evidence and the information and you cite the sources and you show the facts and you have a pile of evidence to prove some banking scam or something that we're talking about here. Why is it that the average person will not look at that and will still recite to you the little half paragraph that they read on one of the CNN news articles that just popped up in their Facebook feed, or recite to you the talking points that they hear on a bunch of different networks? So when you go and you watch CNN, MSNBC, you know, all these different major media companies, it's the same in Canada here, right? We have less media companies, but they're still all pretty much dominated by, you know, what is it, Conrad Black or some of these guys. And, you know, it's basically the same ideas are put through different media vehicles, which means there's no competing ideals. No. There will be a little bit on certain issues. And if you pay attention, it's not that you won't get good information from the media. It's just that the information, there is a lot missing, but it's also highly spun. It's spun to create an emotional reaction to people. So the news is not relating to people anymore on the level of, hey, we're just an unbiased source of information for you, and here's the facts and you decide what it is. That's how the media was supposed to be set up. If you're a true journalist, you're really only out there to uncover the facts and then let the others, you know, the people in Congress or Parliament or whatever, debate it, let the people debate about it, and let continue the investigation. But the thing is that now the media is there to give you an opinion. They're not telling you how to think. They're telling you what to think. So that's a big problem. And it's a big problem when you have central control, central ownership in the media companies. And yes, I'm not saying every person in the media is in some media conspiracy. I don't think that's what Donald Trump's saying. That's what anybody's saying. It's just that at the ownership level, at the boardroom level, I mean, think of it like this. If you walked into a McDonald's, okay, and you went up to the manager of that local McDonald's to try to get something changed. Maybe you didn't like the way they package their ketchup or something, okay? I'm not advising people to eat at McDonald's. I'm just using an example, okay? You're not going to get very far with that manager, because that manager only has a certain amount of control over that particular branch of McDonald's, of which how many thousands or millions of these things are in the world? And they're controlled from where? The places you don't see, the people you don't even know. You wouldn't even know half the names of the people that sit at those meetings and make decisions, let alone the investors and the sponsors and all these different things. And then when you get up to the top of that, who owns the entire market share and beyond? And then who created that market to begin with? So there's a pyramid, obviously. And there wouldn't necessarily be anything wrong with that if we weren't seeing so much corruption happen within some of these organizations. Not all, but some. And so the media, by and large, and all the people involved in it, they're reading teleprompters, they're repeating stories that they're getting from the two central media organizations, which would be Reuters and Associated Press. Both are owned by, you know, ancillaries of the Rothschild family. And, you know, you start to ask those questions like, well, why is the information we're getting so biased? Why, no matter what channel I turn on, am I pretty much hearing the same talking point about Russian collusion or some bullshit they're trying to spin with you? And it could go on and on with all kinds of different narratives that are spun. So the average person is sitting there going, okay, I've seen this. I recognize this. Well, where then do I get my information? Well, that now is the onus that is transferred to the individual that really wants to know what the truth is. That means you have to become the citizen journalist. You have to go and read multiple news sources, talk to people. If you can interview some witnesses on the scene, if say you're very curious about a particular event, or you want to get into online journalism, which is now a huge field. There's so many different websites and podcasts and all these things of now alternative media organizations. And there's a pro and con to that. The pro is now more voices are out there being heard. The con is now more voices are out there being heard, in the sense that, like, not all the information you're going to get is just, you know, is perfectly reliable. I guess the only thing you can do is hear what the mainstream is saying, hear what the different alternative outlets are saying, do your own investigation to the best you can, and compare that to the facts of history, of which everybody should be very educated on. I mean, that's really all you can do. And that's what we're doing with our show, is trying to differentiate what's good information from what's bad information. But make no mistake about it. There is a political agenda. There's a geopolitical agenda, a world agenda, to centralize ownership, centralize control. And there's been insiders that have come out for years to talk about this. There's so many points of information that we can get into that talk about that. But the media is the driving force behind the narrative that's given to people upon which they base their opinions. So the average person that's working 9 to 5, maybe they're working 2 jobs, they've got kids, they're stressed out, who knows what they're doing with their lives, but they don't have the time. And most of the time, they don't have the motivation to go and actually check facts. You know what I mean? So someone like me, I have an eye for detail. I want to know the truth. To the point that it's driven me to spend countless hours and most of my time reading articles, reading books, talking to people, doing shows like this. I'm learning just as much as everybody else that's tuning into this podcast. And I know there's still so much more to learn in this process. But I do know we're being lied to. I do know that we're being misinformed. And it's going to be up to the future is going to be defined by the few people that are willing to break away from the consensus trends and think for themselves. That's going to be the determining factor as to whether or not we save Western civilization or whether we throw it down the toilet and go along with these globalists.
Is there any advice that you would give to the average person listening to be able to become more centered and less influenced by these big agendas?
Oh, great question, man. I'm glad you asked it because there's only so long I can talk about the politics and all that. I mean, it's great, but my personal focus in life and in the work that I do and that I want to get better at doing is focusing on that exact question. What can the average person do? And I've decided to look at it like this. You have to look at things like it's regardless of the weather, okay? Regardless of whether it's raining, sunny, snowing, whatever. If you look at that metaphorically as regardless of what is happening in the world around you, what system is in place in your society, regardless of all the chaos or whatever, how do you stay centered? How do you live your life? How do you access your potential? I mean, that's the name of this show, right? How do you even understand that you have potential, that you have purpose, that you have meaning, that you have a destiny to fulfill in this life? How do you connect with that? You have to have a desire first. You have to say, I'm not going to be programmed by the crowd. The crowd being the people around that we were just talking about that are very misinformed, that probably have their own personal agendas, and good for them. But to stop relying so heavily on these handrails that are given to you by society and by all the people around you and say, for once in my life, I'm going to walk on my own 2 feet and I know I'm going to trip. And I know I'm going to get tired and I know I'm going to get injured and I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to fall down. But I know if I know and I believe that I can get back up again, then it's worth it. It's worth it to go on this journey of discovery. And it's not one answer that's going to fit everybody. And I think that's what politicians and religious potentates try to do, is try to say, this is the solution for everybody. Some generalized, like a standardized testing in school. Here's the generalized curriculum we're going to basically bring all these beautiful, creative, free-thinking minds down into one undifferentiated group of one thing. That's a problem. That's what we call collectivism. That is a danger, not just to society, not just to civilization, but it's a danger to you, your life, your potential, and your ability to rise up and be as strong as you are that you just don't even know how strong you are. And I know this, guys, because I've been there. I've gone through a very hard, challenging life experience when I was growing up. And I was asking that question. I'm like, well, what's the point of living? I got to the point of contemplating suicide in my life because I was asking myself, what's the point of even living if all this shit's going on in the world and I don't even know my place and I feel depressed and I feel confused and I have low energy and I have no motivation to change anything in my life. What's the point? And everybody has asked themselves that question in life. And if you haven't yet, you're going to find a point at some time where you will. And what I started to do is I started to read the great minds, the people that focus their life on answering this question. The great philosophers, the great martial artists. That's why I've gone to martial arts. That's why I grew up doing that. I started reading Bruce Lee when I was a kid. I started reading Hideo Che and Gichin Funakoshi, Jigoro Kano, Mora Hayashiba. So many great martial artists that had more than just martial art techniques to talk to you about. They were trying to teach you about personal empowerment. They were trying to tell you that you had potential, but that you're on a path that is challenging. And if you can accept that it's challenging, and you can stop asking the government and your parents and your friends to give you everything, and instead find out that you can give yourself the greatest gift that you can possibly imagine. It's like what the ancient legends would talk about, Aladdin's cave and the genie in the lamp. And, you know, even in the Bible, you got the Christ figure talking about, you know, the kingdom of heaven's within you. And I mean, how many different people could you bring up that tell you this? When you go on that path and you say, you know what, I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on me for a change. I'm going to make sure that I've got my own oxygen mask on before I start trying to assist the world. I'm going to make sure that I'm healthy, that I'm strong, that I'm empowered, that I have my belief in myself again, that I have self-esteem, and I'm doing things actively in my life, that I'm pursuing my dreams, my aspirations, my vision. I'm doing it in a fair way. I have a good ethical, moral compass. These are the most important things that you can do. You're going to have a whole life of things to focus on in this regard, let alone trying to go out and fix the world. So as much as I like to cover the issues that are happening in the world, and I give my take on it for what it's worth, and I'm working with someone like Michael, who's, you know, is an expert at that, both him and I, the reason why we connect so well is that we both believe firmly that the solution lies in each and every individual, not by making everybody some hive or some group of everybody chanting the same words, but by creating a unique, empowered individual and re-encouraging that, because that is the philosophy that made the West completely different than anywhere else in the world before it. So we have to rebuild that again. And there are solutions in place. And we talk about it all the time on Unslaved, what the solutions are in that regard. And I also cover it in my own personal podcast on The Way of the Truth Warrior. I try to focus on that. Like, I use martial art philosophy and some of these other philosophies to try to give you that wind in your sails to say, hey, if you have a dream, if you have a vision, if you have a goal in life, or you just want to find a goal in life, here's the roadmap. Here's what you do. And then here's the way you stay strong throughout all the storms you're going to face when you embark on that journey.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Who were some of the philosophers that you mentioned earlier? Now you mentioned some of the martial artists. Who were the philosophers that you'd recommend people to look at?
Well, you definitely got to read. I would say there's a few books that popped in my head. You got to read Alan Watts, The Taboo of Knowing Who You Are. You got to read Jiddu Krishnamurti, pretty much anything the guy ever wrote. You've got to read Nathaniel Brandon, his book, Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, completely changed my life. The Art of Living Consciously, really good stuff. We talk a lot about Ayn Rand and some of the beautiful parts of her work. And I know whenever I say that name, everybody gets their hackles up, because once again, most people either skip two pages at once when they read, or they were relying on what other people will say about some of these people. You got to get into the works of Walter Russell, Wilhelm Reich. You could even go through all of the philosophers and get into, like, you know, where did Heidegger disagree with Nietzsche, and where did, you know, Jung is good to read and all that. But if you just want somebody that is a little more, it's just easy to understand, easy to digest, then, you know, even Bruce Lee, I brought him up. He wrote so many books, not that he wrote books, but people made his writings into books that were talking about this. You can go back, guys, you can go back as far as you want back in history. And there is just a ton of names that we could talk about of people that wrote these kind of ideas down. And they disagree on certain things, of course. We're all human beings trying to figure this whole mystery of life out, right? But it gives you the momentum. It gets you thinking on that plane. It gets you thinking a bit deeper about things. Instead of just accepting things as they are and going, well, this is just the world. I'm just a hunk of meat stuck in a planet that's flying through space, surrounded by a bunch of other dead rocks, mechanically flying through space. And it's this predetermined life I don't have any control over. Instead of living in that, you're now given the tools to say, no, there's infinite potential. I'm restricted by my own belief or non-belief in myself in terms of what I can accomplish. There are eminent great people out there that you could read and get into, like some of the names I mentioned, that will support you on this journey. And when you read them, it's literally life-changing. There are people you can read that will change your life. And then not just about reading other people and what they think. Those are just getting you going. That's the advice you need from like coaches that are there to help prod you on. You have to do it too. You have to think for yourself. You have to come to your own conclusions and realize that you can reach that place of brilliance in your own life, just as they did. And you can find your own unique expression for that. And that the system that's being created in the world, the reason we do have to sometimes talk about what's going on politically and socially, is that the system that's coming in the world right now is flying in the face of what all these great people and what this great these great ideas were trying to say. And so that's why we're trying to simultaneously address that and also continue to encourage individuals to walk their own path, to walk, we call it the Siddhartha Road, which is just, it's the road of selfhood, the road of leading yourself, taking responsibility, doing what's necessary to become strong and to achieve freedom. So essentially to become unslaved isn't just going and going into your local courtroom and telling the judge, you know, I quit your system, or throwing your credit cards in their face. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about intellectual, attitudinal freedom that can only start from within you, that even people that were incarcerated, that were, you know, guys like Ezra Pound and so many other people that were thrown in prisons, or look at the works of Alexander Solzhenitsyn coming out of the gulags of Russia and writing some of those beautiful things about the human spirit. How could somebody that has been through so much horror come out and say so much empowering things about what it is to be a human being? So it seems as if humanity, when we're up against a wall, when we're challenged, when we're pushed, that's when we shine the brightest. And that's why I believe in martial arts so strongly, because it's a place that puts you in an experience where you're forced to challenge yourself. You're forced to face yourself. You're forced to face the truth about yourself, even if it's just in the realm of learning some new technique or whatever. But the idea is it's teaching you how to do this psychologically, spiritually, emotionally as well, you know?
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Yeah, I think we've done 45 minutes, mate. How long have you got?
I'm good to go, guys. I got probably another hour or so that I'm available.
I don't know if you've got all that in the locker, mate, to be fair. Where can people find some of your work? I mean, you mentioned Unslave, you mentioned you were the podcast. Where else can people find you? We've got YouTube channels and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the easiest place to go is you can either just look up Truth Warrior on Google or YouTube for myself. Or if you go to my website, waythetruthwarrior.com, all the links to everything I do is there. Unslaved is the same thing. So like if you go to unslaved.com, the YouTube channel, the, you know, the iTunes, all that stuff is there and available for everybody.
Cool. It's 10:30 here, mate. I think we need to get off, but thank you very much for your time. It's been phenomenal. I think your work is, it's outstanding, and I sincerely thank you seriously for what you I took from it.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on again in the future at some point as well, if that would be a possibility. It's been
absolutely. Yeah, thanks, guys. I'd love to. I love talking about this stuff, and good job on your show. Keep doing the show that you're doing. You're doing a great job. The more people out there talking about this, the better. So I encourage you to keep going. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in and checking this out, and I'll definitely come back in the future, boys.
Cheers, David. Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Cheers.